Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. I am Magla Pillay and it is my honor to have in the studio with me today Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. Today's topic and particular subject of interest is spiritually based ethics. The purpose of this show is to look at where people are at in terms of their own value systems. We ask that you look at your own conscience and ask yourself the question as to whether the person that you are on the inside is the same as the person that you are on the outside, and more specifically, is who you have become working for you. In other words, is anything about the way you think, feel, any of your attitudes that are causing problems for you in your own life as far as your value system is concerned? Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us, and it is always a pleasure to have you in our studio.
Thank you, Madra.
So please tell me, spiritually based ethics, it's quite a loaded sentence. Why is this subject of interest to you, and how has it impacted on your own spiritual journey?
We have to contrast spiritually with materially based ethics, and we've looked in a number of shows at what materialism thinks about reality, and it means that you don't really think about the human person in the same way, and therefore the human person doesn't have value which is substantially greater than a material object. So when you're thinking about spiritually based values, you're also thinking about the details of the sacredness of life. And within life, a person's feelings, a person's heart, a person's sense of self, all of this has much more value when you're looking at it from a perspective of spiritually based ethics. In materially based ethics, you would say that, well, those things don't really matter because they're intangible, therefore we won't take them into consideration. There was an interesting documentary that I saw in which it was decided that in a situation where there was some compensation given to some people as a result of a very catastrophic event, it was said that, well, we won't give any compensation to children under 5 because they are too young to be impacted, which is of course absolutely wrong. From a psychological point of view, absolutely untrue, but you know, the thinking is just based on the idea that until a person can represent themselves through a school system, they don't actually have any personhood, you see. So it's a huge difference in how we think about what a person is. Even a baby has feelings and perceptions, but the materially based ethics absolutely won't take any of that into consideration. So also, spiritually based ethics means that you take into consideration the quality of relationship. It means that you're looking at long-term impact. You're not looking at things just in financial terms. You take into consideration culture, whereas in the physically based or materially based ethics, you're just looking at things in a very one-sided way, and one culture fits all, one approach fits all, which means that you're going very much against the laws of karma and the laws of spirituality on that basis. So then you put yourself into a situation where you have to repay through some kind of suffering because of having violated those laws.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Denise, you mentioned a very beautiful expression of the sacredness of life. We live in a world where life has become anything but sacred. life has become very cheap. And how does one come back from where we're at to revering every single life on the planet?
Well, I feel the main thing, the main way to do that is to pull oneself up whenever you find yourself speaking about a person as if they are an object. You say a child, you say it, you say a woman, it is a sexual object. So all of these, or an animal, it, you know, you're operating as if you're a real person and everything else is objects, you see, which means you have no sense of what is behind the physical form of that person or that creature.
Okay. From the way you mentioned that entire aspect, I get the impression that your approach, as far as spirituality is concerned, is quite holistic. Is that what makes somebody whole again, if you look at it like that?
Well, holistic means to take into consideration the whole, to look at, for example, in medicine, you look at just a particular part of the body and you deal with what's wrong with that, but you don't look at the whole system. And when you disregard the whole system, you may have a very negative impact on the whole system that you don't take into consideration or bother about, because the whole system doesn't count for you. In terms of human society, the whole system is not just one section of society, because a holistic approach means that you can't really isolate a part of any system. The whole system is working together, and if you isolate a part, then you don't have a good sense of what that system is. Then the other thing about holistic is it takes into consideration the physical, the emotional, the subtle, the environmental, a lot of other considerations that were completely disregarded by the conventional way of looking at things.
Where does one begin? Take a person who has a certain set of values and is not proud of what he's become thus far, and he wants to embrace something bigger because he wants to now recreate his karma in such a way that he only gets the good in return. Where does one begin to build oneself and set yourself some parameters as far as authentic spirituality is concerned? How does one start?
I think if a person is in the position that you just mentioned, it means they have already begun.
Oh, that's actually very sweet. So the fact that you want to means that you're already there.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely, because a lot of people don't see it that way. They start off looking at their own weaknesses and think, oh, yuck. So you're saying one needs to look at it differently.
Well, as soon as you feel that there's something you want to do something about your situation or yourself, you noticed that there's something wrong, that means that sensitivity has started. You're no longer out of touch, you're no longer out of contact. And as soon as you start feeling this, then immediately it's going to impact your conscience, which is going to say, hey, well, in that case, we have to do something about this. So you and your conscience and all the different parts of yourself will have to have a conference about this and decide on an action.
Conference. Okay, all the different parts of you have a conscience. Got that? That's a highly unusual thing to say. Which parts are you referring to specifically? The conscience is one of them? What else?
Your conscience, then you have your preconceptions, that's another character. Then you have your heart, who says, well, I'm here too, you know. And then you have the internalized voices of other people, particularly the external moral authorities, and they're acting like a voice and they're representing another side of the argument. So it is really like you're having a conference because you're taking into consideration all these voices, and then you have to say, who am I? Which one is the real me? You know, which, who's the boss around here? Who decides? Who has the casting vote? So there you have to really think about yourself deeply to find, you know, what is the real me? Is the real me my heart? Is it my conscience? Is it my, you know, what people expect me to be? Is it my sensitivity? And you have to kind of jump between those to have a feel for it, to say, you know, which is the real me. And in spirituality it says, well, the real me is the soul. Then you say, well, what's that? You know, who's that? And how do I know which of these voices is really the soul? And really, in spirituality, when it's said that, okay, the soul is light, it is like God, except it's been damaged, so it's become very unlike God, then you start to have a few more pieces of information that you can work with and begin to say, okay, yeah, this is me, and all these other people, they're not me. They're people that I interact with, even if they're inside your own head, but I am the real self, and then these are characters rather than actual myself. And I think there's nothing wrong with having different characters that you play, different masks, but you have to distinguish between the self and the character, the self and the mask.
Mm. So that level of introspection is happens on a level of thought where you're sitting with yourself and looking at all the various aspects of yourself. In your journey of introspection, where does pain come into the picture, and how do you deal with the pain? Because somebody may have been honest in the past, or acted out of his showed an act of kindness and got slapped because of it, and so now, as a result of that negative experience, perhaps in his childhood, he has now decided that it's not worth being kind, but now he wants to revisit that because he understands the law of karma. So what do you do with the fact, with your damaged self? Because everything that you've said thus far, especially what you said about the holistic approach, means there's a healing that takes place.
Yes.
Okay, so take us through that. Your pain. How do you manage your pain in that?
Suppose you notice, oh my goodness, people are experiencing me as harsh, but I'm not seeing it. But enough feedback is coming to me saying, oh, by the way, you're harsh. And you say, harsh? Am I harsh? So you have to try to position yourself in their shoes and kind of look back on yourself and see, you know, are they for real? Am I really harsh? How come I didn't see it? Because you can be, what your pain will do is it will anesthetize you from how you are expressing yourself, so you have no idea. You think you're coming across as kind, but people are not feeling that. They're feeling that you're coming across as harsh.
Okay, please say that again. That was quite an important line. Your pain anesthetizes you from?
It anesthetizes you from feeling yourself, so that you will feel some parts of yourself, but other parts you won't feel.
Is it like a numbness?
Yes.
Okay,
but
so
you won't
pain?
Even know that you're numb.
Okay, so your pain anesthetizes you from feeling parts of yourself. Okay, and you put that right, how?
Well, that means you have to start to feel what the anesthetic has been hiding from you. And so that means you have to go there. Say, for example, you take seriously, okay, people are experiencing me as harsh. And up until a certain day, you just dismiss it because, you know, you look at it from the inside. I don't look harsh to me, so probably they're mistaken or they're ultra sensitive or something. But then the day comes when you say, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm unable to feel or see or get a sense of how I'm coming across because I'm out of touch with that part of myself. And then you will understand that why you're out of touch is because it's been damaged. And then there's been a cover over it. Sometimes we call that the ego mask. So it looks good, but it's really not. It's a bandage, but underneath there's an untended wound. And untended wounds tend to go septic. So you have to start pulling off the bandages. And that means you're going to really hurt. So then that's going to disturb you emotionally, psychologically, in every which way. So that means you have to find a space, which is a safe space or an alone space or whatever, where you can actually undo all of this cover-up and just see what's really going on. It happens similarly in the political arena, where some event is covered up and then everybody makes it look like nothing wrong, everything is fine, and then somebody finds out and describes it and defines it and shows it and says, you know, we have proof, this is a cover-up and this is what really happened. So you're doing something like that on an individual level. The people have said, you know, you're coming across as harsh, but really, you have no idea how harsh you are. You need to take a look at it. And when you pick up that message, you go inside and you say, oh my God, that may be true. And as soon as you realize it, you're obligated to yourself to go in there and look at it. And as you go in and look at it, that's going to open up all of your pain. And so you're going to have to be strong enough to bear it. You have to endure it. Because what pain does is there's a threshold of pain. And when it's too painful, it cuts off. You see, so if you've been too much hurt in a particular area, that's what will have happened. It will have cut off and you're numb. And you want to go in there, because this was maybe some long time ago this happened, then you're going to do what some people call original pain work in that area. And that's a big piece of work.
Mm.
But I think with spiritual information and practice, and you build yourself up and so on, you feel, okay, it may be painful, but it's okay, I'm ready for it, I can handle it, I'm adult, I'm stable in so many parts of myself, it's time, I can go in and deal with this. So I will.
Okay, so thus far you've spoken about someone's internal processes of introspection and self-evaluation, etc. Now, then there's a next step in that journey of bringing that which you have changed on the inside onto the outside. How does one actually do that?
I feel that whatever is going on the inside is going to be right away reflected on the outside. So if you're numb on the inside, you'll be very fake on the outside. And there are people who say, you know, I feel fake. And other people say, well, you're not fake at all, you're really real. And they say, no, no, I feel fake. And this may be an indicator, I think it is an indicator, that there's an area where they're totally numb, and that the way that person comes across, how they play their role as a person, is coming from that place of numbness, and this is why they feel fake, and they really are fake, but they do it so well that nobody else realizes how fake it is.
Mm. So didn't he say more about being numb on the inside means that you're fake on the outside? Is that a yardstick by which you measure your authenticity? One measures one's authenticity? Because I don't think that's a well-known thing. I think it's very few people in the world know that. The fact, Sister Denise just shared that if you are numb on the inside, then you're fake on the outside. That's quite fascinating. So you can be fake even though other people experience you to be real?
Yeah, because, you know, you create your personality, you create some kind of coherence in it, and it corresponds to what people expect, you know, and you get good feedback for how you're operating, and they don't think you're fake, they think you're exactly how they want you to be. But there is this suspicion inside, this feeling, which may be a message from the conscience, which speaks to us in mysterious ways, actually. And so it says, you know what, something wrong, you better look, check, you know, I smell gas, you better go see if there's a leak, you know, that kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes.
And so it's an indicator, and then you go inside, and it's like one day you'll suddenly start to hear this example I've given. People say, you're harsh, you know, and everybody else says, no, you're nice, you're gentle, da da da. And a few people say, no, you're harsh. I'm harsh? Are you sure I'm harsh? Yeah, I'm sure you're harsh. I'm sure you're harsh. So then you say, well, I don't see it. Can you help me to see it? Oh, well, you know, when you speak to me like this, I feel really hurt. So you do? These words are hurtful? Yes, they are. Oh, I can't sense it from the inside, you see? So when you can't sense something from the inside about how you are acting on the outside, it means there's ice in there. It's been anesthetized. And so you're not with yourself. And then the way that you come through to other people, you are hurting them without realizing. You see, and I think there's a lot of people in this world who do very hurtful things without sensing how hurtful it is, because if they did, they wouldn't do it. You see, so there is this thing that is mentioned in Indian spirituality, Mesostaki Shakti, the power to be able to feel the impact of what you're doing on another person's heart. You know,
That's actually quite a powerful thing, Sister Denise. Would you say that term again and its meaning?
Mesostaki Shakti, the power to feel. That means you can feel all the way from the deep inside, and you feel all the way through to the part of you that's coming out to another person and how they are receiving it, how you are giving it. And all of that, if you're in touch with it, then you know what you're doing. But if you're out of touch with it, and you may be doing something cruel without feeling that it's cruel, you will exonerate yourself and say, well, this is all right because I don't feel anything bad about this, so therefore it must be okay. Mm. Because normally you trust your inner evaluation, but if there's some areas that are anesthetized, then you're not going to be able to trust them because you don't have access.
You were saying that when one gets one's house in order internally, then it will automatically start showing in your words. Does this also apply to conduct?
Well, your words are all very much part of your conduct. I think there's a continuity between your thinking, your feeling, your speaking, your interaction with other people, how you behave. The whole thing is a continuous flow, but where there are blocks and icebergs and whatnot, then it doesn't come through properly, and there it becomes a really dysfunctional person.
Mm. So Denise, I'm looking at the scenario where one has desires, needs. I once heard it said that every single person on the planet, their agenda for everything that they think, say, and do is deep down inside wanting love. Okay, I'm not sure if that's true. You'll answer that one for us. But say in case somebody performs act of kindness outside, kindness, gentleness, honesty, etc. But their agenda is, or the way they function, is that they're selling that virtue as a commodity in order to receive love. Okay? Is that then, is there spirituality in that if on the outside they treat people very beautifully, but on the inside they said, you know, if I'm kind to you, maybe you would like me. Now, is there, but they have the habit of kindness anyway, okay? So, where does one bring in spirituality in that? In other words, not to want from others, not to sell yourself out like that.
I think, of course, when somebody wants love, it means they're empty inside.
Mm. Which most people are.
Well, yes. People want to be respected. That's a kind of love. Positive feedback, appreciation, affection. It's a kind of nourishment to the soul. So, what we try to do in meditation is to say, well, I understand that all the people around me are also depleted. And so if I'm trying to feed myself from those people, I can get something very short-lived, but I really can't get anything that is enough for my needs. So I have to go to a powerful spiritual source, the most powerful spiritual source. But most people don't know about that. So they will, well, there's this expression, glom on to somebody.
Sorry, beg your pardon? Glom?
Glom on.
Glom on. Okay.
Means you kind of
glom on.
Yes. Glom on to somebody, you say, okay, this is my bottle. This is
kind of like a leech.
Yes.
Suck
and you, and you start to use that person as your energy source.
Mm.
And, you know, unless that person knows how to put a barrier, if you will kind of really consume them. And I think a lot of human relationships go badly wrong quite quickly because this is how people relate, and they call it love. But it's really mutual consuming of each other's energy, which is not love at all, because love is to give.
Mm. Okay, unfortunately, on that high note, we have to bring today's talk to an end because we've run out of time. A very fascinating topic indeed. I hope you thought so. Simply because Sister Denise has shared with us things that one does not ordinarily hear of, which is the beauty of being on this chair. And I hope you have the experience being on your chair at home. You know, the aspect that if you're numb on the inside, you're fake on the outside. I mean, how many of us have heard that expression before? So I hope what you've heard today gives you cause for self-examination. And if you find and identify with anything Sister Denise said, I'll be very happy if that happens. And the beauty of the message is that if you are feeling exposed and vulnerable having listened to this talk, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's actually a good thing because it means that a door has been opened somewhere in your psyche and asks of you to relook at your life, relook at the way you've functioned, and invite God into your heart. So, Sister Denise, thank you so much. It was such a wonderful experience being here, and thank you at home for lending us your ear, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you, and goodbye.